Well, anyways, let's go to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12:2. The Common English Bible says that instead, renew the thinking of your mind by the Spirit. Renew the thinking of your mind by the Spirit. That's a Common English Bible. The mind of man, we're talking about the mind of man, and the mind of every person is, is to be renewed. Once you're born again, there comes a change in your life. You know, this is not an automatic venture because you've been in church for 20 years. You know, I venture to say that some people that have been in church for many, many years haven't done anything to change their mind. They haven't read anything to do something to increase their thinking about what God says about them, and maybe they take too much of what other people say about them. They look at the world to maybe try to picture what everybody else wants them to think except Jesus, except the Word of God. And I think it's important for us to realize that today that the most important thing in life is what God thinks about you. You know, many of us maybe have struggled with esteem issues. We're not good enough, or we're not what everybody wants us to be, and yet we're struggling on the inside. I think we should not just struggle, but we should do something about it. If you're struggling, there's something that you should do and try to change that. And the Bible wants you to change. And the idea is that God wants every person to change, all of us to change. We shouldn't be the same way we came in, and we should be able to make some allowances. And don't pick on yourself and don't pick on other people. And give them some grace, but there's a time when you need to expect other people to change around you as well. You don't want to live with someone who doesn't want to change. Someone asked me a question, some time ago. You know, what if I'm with somebody and they're not changing? They don't want to change. Then there's going to be trouble. You have to be with people who are constantly want to do this, because the Bible says it. Not because they want you particularly. Yes, it's nice when you do what God says, and there people are blessed by it because you're changing. So we don't want to remain the same. Our text says that be transformed. Be transformed. And the scripture before, the part of the word says, but do not be conformed to this world. Conform to this world. So you're either going to conform to the world. When we say that, we're talking about conform to the ideas and customs and lifestyles of people around us and what they do. We're going to do what they do eventually if we don't do something about it. If we have to be, seeking to change something. Or we're going to be transformed by renewing our mind. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you for the Word of faith that's going to change lives and make a difference. We thank you for Holy Spirit. We invite you, wonderful Lord, to help us to understand the Word of God. So we yield our bodies for this time to sit here and to think on the Word of God and to focus on the Word of God and to say, that, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, whatever it is you want me to change, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to think about what other people need to change. I'm going to think about what I need to change. So I'm thanking you right now that by faith I'm changing. By the time I leave here today, I'm going to be so much better off that I came in to hear the Word of God. That the anointing of God that is able to make things easy and great is here right now. So I'm believing it. I'm counting on it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just want to remind you, if you do have someone sick in your home, or you know somebody that's sick, and you want us to pray for a cloth, go pick up a cloth in the bookstore, and we'll lay hands on that cloth, and we're going to pray and believe God that that person will be healed or it shall be healed when we apply that cloth on that person's life and on their bed or whatever. We believe that's going to happen because God said it's by faith. So we do that. So the Bible says that we need to renew our thinking. Ephesians 4:23, the Common English Bible says that instead renew the thinking in your mind. Not this old thinking. You know, it's not automatic that we change our minds. It's something that's going to happen. If anything's going to change, it's going to be you. That's going to make the big difference. God's here right now. God's word is here right now. But it's up to you to put that word into your heart. Start thinking about the word and to apply the word of God and to make it a priority in your life right now. How many people think today that you can do some changing? Amen? I believe we can all do it. I can do it. I know I need to change my mind on some things. And I know Pastor Ken needs it too. Amen? And Pastor Dave needs it. He really needs it. Praise God. Amen. Appreciate these men of God. And they're doing their best. They're doing their best. And they come here. They're looking good, sharp, smelling great. I saw Pastor Ken spraying himself the other morning. I don't know what he was doing. I think a fly spray or something. Okay, so be renewed by the... Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. So, as we mentioned, transformed with the world. You can run with the world, or you can run with God. Either going to make it, you're going to have to make a change. You're going to have to decide what you're going to do. What are you going to do? And sometimes, you know, we tell us, you know, if we think about Jesus in the church like the rest of the world, if we feel like the rest of the world about church, then we need to renew our mind. If we think about the devil and the things of God like the rest of the world does, we need a renewing of the mind. And so we have to be careful to consider, what is it about my life that I need to change? And what is it about the things that I need to do to prevent myself from conforming more like the world? I mean, sure, we have to put clothes on, and you might look like somebody in the world. That's not what we're talking about, but, you know, you can actually make clothes, a center of your life, but when it comes to, looking like you need some extra clothes, you need to put some extra clothes on. You know, and there's people that come in here sometimes, they after a while, they change because they see that, you know, this is helping them change because they come to church, they see other people. This is how you're supposed to behave in church. You know, you don't always know how to behave in church, right? Because that's why Timothy, in the book of Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, tell people how to behave in church. There's a right way to behave in church. You don't just, do whatever you want to do. Do with the rest. When the Romans are here, be like the Romans. You know, remember that saying? Whatever. So, all right. The Bible tells us to renew our mind. So what is the mind? The mind is actually the conscious part of our being in which we feel or we think and we feel or perceive and make decisions. That's the part of our being. You know, your mind... There's a part, a physical part in your brain that makes you feel something in your brain, in your mind. And when you think something, if you think of certain things, sometimes you could see yourself getting tense if you start thinking on certain things. And then you catch yourself thinking something like that, and all of a sudden you think of something else that is more pleasant, then you begin at rest. I was thinking about a study that was conducted about some people who were known to have no heart disease. The group of in United States in New Jersey area, there was a study that had some Italians who were living there, and they never have any heart attacks. They were just people who just didn't suffer that. And so the scientists wanted to know, why are this group of people, they don't suffer like everybody else, and yet they're overweight, they eat rich foods, and they eat butter and lots of pasta and breads, and they never suffer like that the rest of the world. And so they wanted to know what if we could just find the ingredient that they're eating in their foods that would help them to not have heart attacks, because in America, heart disease is, I think, either one number one or two or three, and heart attack, heart disease, and cancer. I forget what the other one, diabetes, I believe it is. Same over here. And so they were wondering why, what ingredient are they eating that helps them to be, that prevents them from having this heart attacks and so on, heart disease. So what they found out, the most intriguing revelation was that these people were at ease, they were at peace with themselves. They had peace in their lives, they didn't suffer. Because how many people know when you're stressed out all the time, your body goes into a stress mode where your body is releasing more toxin into your system and causing yourself and causing other things to happen, and chemicals happen in your system, and causes actual heart disease, a hardening of the arteries, cholesterol and so on. And stress will do that to you. You know, and so the study was conducted over a number of years, and they did another study and found out that these people are now having the same thing. And that what they found is that these people who were before were at more at peace with each other. They lived as a unit. They lived in peace. Everybody lived that with grandma, and grandma lived in their home, and they'd eat together, and they'd fellowship together, and they'd be together as a unit, and they'd fellowship, and there'd be camaraderie and peace in their environment. And that, over the years, that of course, you know, life changes, people change, and things happen where you become like the rest of the world, you take on all the cares, and all of a sudden they start becoming like the rest of America, frazzled, stressed out, and then they begin to have the same things happen. I believe it has to do with thinking. I have a friend of mine who 2 days ago, he had a brain aneurysm over in Tulsa. And his wife said, we need prayer. My husband had a brain aneurysm, and he's in a hospital. He had all signs that he had a stroke. And so he went in the hospital, and so we began to believe God for that man. Young man, about 60. And he began to go into hospital, and they had immediate surgery. They said, we have to get into his brain. Took them a while to find it. No, just kidding. So they went to his brain, and they said, you know, there's a blockage. There's blood there. So they had to find that, and there were some other issues. So, you know, he's going to go home on Tuesday. And he just after 24 hours, you know, they brought him out. You know, they had him up walking after his, whatever, and he's walking around. Now he's going to go home. Because people prayed and believed God. And his attitude was, thank God God's working for me. He didn't say, oh man, you know, look what I did. I'm serving Jesus and look what happened to me. And so I want to tell you something. People, faith works. Faith works. Either you're going to get healed or not get sick. I'd rather not get sick than try to get healed. That's where I want to be. How about you? I want to pray that, praise God, I don't believe God, that I'm not getting sick. And because himself, that's the renewing of your mind, right? You should say, you know, Deuteronomy 28, I believe, verse 61 says, every sickness and every disease is a curse of the law. And you say that to yourself, thank God, my sickness, heart disease, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28, verse 61. I thank God that I don't have this anymore, because according to Galatians 3 and 13, that this sickness, my sickness, heart disease, according to Galatians 3:13, that Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law, and therefore I no longer have heart disease. Thank God for that I'm free, because according to Romans chapter 8, verse 17, himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. And I thank you that 1 Peter 2:24 is working right in my body right now, that by his stripes I was healed. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that I am healed in Jesus' name. And yet you're sick with all the symptoms in your body. If you're not willing to do that, you ain't going to get well. You must say those things while you're sick. You must say, thank God, I have lots of money. Oh, hallelujah. I have my wallet right here. I want to thank you that all these bank cards, these bank credit cards are all paid up in the name of Jesus. And I can just go and buy something if I want to, but I don't want to right now. I got control, amen. I got these credit cards. I got several credit cards. They got money here. Oh, praise God. I know I have some money here, but the rest of it is coming. It's out there, and money is coming to me. I thank you, God, I'm rich according to your word. You know, I thank you that you said that, John 10:10, that you give me abundant life. Thank you, God, abundance in Jesus' name, that I'm rich. That according to, you know, what is it, the 1st, 2nd Corinthians, chapter 8, I believe it is, that Jesus was made poor that I might be rich. I'm rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am very poor. No? Rich. Rich. Let them say, I'm rich. Thank God. You have to say that. That's the renewing of your mind. You have to do that for yourself. You can't wait to come to church and I'm going to hope they say my thing today in the name of Jesus. No, you have to do it yourself. You say, thank God, I'm stronger than I was before. I might look weak, but I'm strong. Praise God, amen. I'm going to go take a walk today. I feel sick, but you know what? I believe by the time my feet hits the pavement over here, that healing is flowing in my body in the name of Jesus. You're going to woke up this morning and say, you know what? I feel so depressed today. I'm going to give in to this again. No, you're going to say, no, I'm not going to get depressed. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to take my body to church. I'm going to tell myself the blues are over. Amen. Sun is shining. And I feel good. Amen. Where's that Max? We need him. I feel good. He's probably singing songs somewhere else. All right. So the mind is the conscious part of your being. And you have to understand that your mind is only one part of your soul. Your soul is not born again, so you have to do something with it. Over here, God says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your mind is a part of your soul. Your soul is not born again. Your soul is not saved. So when you came to Jesus, you had the same mind. And then you might feel the same way. You might think the same way. So all the education you had about maybe the things of God or about everything is in there. And you have to do something about it. You have to renew your mind. You must completely destroy junk that's been in there since you were a kid. When you renew something, you got to totally take out all the garbage. Take out all the bad reports. Take all the bad thinking, all the bad thoughts, all the how you feel about things, how you feel about people. You know, renewing. When we renewed this building, different ones asked me different things. You know, pastor asked me about, you know, enjoying that building. I said, yeah, we're enjoying it. We totally renovated this place. We took out all the junk. The other church left here. No, we took out, we took out the ceilings and we took out, all the old wood that was there. The floor, the walls, painted all the walls. And completely did a new job with the heating and cooling system. We took out all that old thing downstairs that was sucking up all the money. The old dinosaur down there was blowing hot air. If you want to heat one room, you got to heat the whole building. Amen. And then sometimes it's sweating too much because it's too hot. You couldn't control it. And they were complaining over there, they're too hot. Over here, they're complaining they're too cold. And so we had to complete everything. We had to completely destroy that and throw it out and get rid of it, throw it in the garbage, take the garbage truck and get it out to the dump. That's exactly what you need to do about whatever's in your mind that needs to come out of you. Get rid of it. Your old feelings. You say, well, I feel this way. This is a trigger. Well, get rid of the trigger. Amen. I used to tell myself, oh, every Monday morning, well, I got to have renew my mind about what's going to happen Monday morning. Monday morning, I'm going to be peppy, praise God, amen. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy to go somewhere. Because before, I didn't have anywhere to go. In fact, they didn't want me in their homes. Even my own cousins, my own mom sometimes was worried about me living in their home because I might steal something. You know, and I was always mad. Mad at everybody. My family was always afraid to have me around because I'd get violent. Because I would cuss up a storm and throw things and start fighting with my brothers and stuff. We'd have lots of fights. And, you know, I would fight. Like, you know, I mean, I would get beaten up lots of times, but I'd fight, you know. I had the world record of how many times I got beaten up. But anyway. But I was like that. I would fight anywhere, and you know, and people look at me on the bus. I was like, "What are you looking at?" You know, and if they're bigger, I would just make up a storm. Like you wouldn't believe that's me. I changed. I couldn't sleep at night. I would be up all night, and when the sun came up, I went to sleep. I'm scared. Because I had to change. See, there's people, like, you know, I had different things happen to me as a kid. I blamed everybody, blamed my parents for the way it was. I said, you know, I'm like this because my parents brought me up this way. But after I got old, I couldn't say that anymore. Somebody came to me one day. I had a sponsor in AA said to me, you know, Roma, you better take care of yourself. You better stop blaming your parents. You're a man now. Act like one. Start changing your mind. And so I used those 12 steps, Jerry. Sorry to break your name here, but this is supposed to be an anonymous program. I'm breaking everybody's anonymity because I did it. We're going to erase that. Anyway, Jerry's looking at me. It's fine. He woke up. That's why everybody just know they're alert. What's he going to say next? But anyway, we had to change. And so somebody told me that, took me aside, said, you know, you got to stop blaming people. You got to change your mind about that. It's you. You're the problem now. What are you going to do about it? And then so I said, you know, I'm going to do something about it. And I'm going to change me. And I'm going to make sure that whatever happened to me, the curses that happened in my life are stopping with me because Christ redeemed me from the curse. Therefore, I'm no longer going to pass the curse on to my kids or my grandkids or anybody else. I'm redeemed. Amen? I had a funny thing happen to me not too long ago. One of my nieces, you know, was mad at me. He said, you know, you remind me of Billy Graham. He said, then he started saying all kinds of bad things. I don't remember Billy Graham ever being bad. I said, I was happy to call me Billy Graham. But anyway, I said all those things, you know. But then I got, that was some time ago, but sent me another notice, you know, Uncle, I'm really sorry I said all those bad things about you. I said, don't worry about it. You know, no problem. I have no problem about it. I realize people hurt. They say different things. You know, how many people ran home when they were kids? Said, I'm running away from home. You go around the back door, said, this life is bad out here. I better go back in the house. Too scared. It's dark in here. We try to run home, but you don't realize you need home. You know, we need each other. Everybody needs each other. We need people around us. I was telling Pastor Ken, you know, hey, he's driving 24 hours a day, driving bus and driving everybody else from his home. You can't buy enough cars to help have his home, the Grand Central Station at his home. I said, you know, Pastor Ken, listen, enjoy your kids. Because one day you'll be sitting at home like me looking around. Where's everybody? Even the dog's gone. Nobody to bug me. I said, Lord, I promise I'll never complain about the dirty floor, or dirty kitchen, or all the floor, the everything. And so I'm not going to complain about taking the dog out. Lord, help me. So I started renewing my mind. I said, hey, listen, enjoy your kids while they're there. Yeah. Amen? And then, I think about Ed and Max. They bring in people from all the reserves. They're bringing more and more kids, right? They're raising more kids up. She's not saying anything to me, but I know she, you have to, you get tired of certain ways. Pick up yourself. Everybody say, I'm picking myself up. This is renewing the mind, by the way. If you just dropped in, we're not crazy. So your mind is where you know, Brother Higgin used to tell us when he taught us things. He said, your mind is a gateway to your heart. You should write that down. Your mind is a gateway to your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. It says in Proverbs 4, it says, guard your heart, verse 26, I believe it is. Guard your heart above, it's out of it will come the issues of life. It's the way you think is going to make changes in life. If whatever you take in your heart and your mind will begin to build your spirit, maybe with the wrong things, and then out of it will come out whatever the sources of life that you bring out in your life. So we need to learn that it's important for us to check our mind and make sure that we're not putting in things that's going to damage our lives. Because we affect, other people with their attitudes. So the mind is part of our soul, which is actually different from the spirit and yet connected, very connected. Because one affects the other. If you want a strong spirit, we need to think healthy. And if you want to feel strong in your physical body, you have to think strong. I'm going to tell you something. I've known this, and I've always worked out in my life. Every day since I was a young person, I worked out all the time. I went to the gym. I always did something. Never stopped working out. I walk around. I walk here all year round. With minus 25, I'm still walking. I walk. I don't wait till a good day comes to not walk. I walk because it's my life. I don't sit at home and say, there's too much snow. No, I walk and do something about my life. So, for me, that's what God spoke in my heart. I need to do it. And so I feel like, we have to be able to motivate ourselves in different areas and work hard on it. Because sometimes, if God spoke to you, to you, it's law. You have to do something. So your mind needs to be renewed. Your spirit is different from your body, and yet so close together. So when I'm working out, I go to the gym. I don't feel like I want to go. I drag myself there. Lots of times I have to drag myself, multiple times. Drag myself to the gym to go to a regiment. And that I don't want to do. I hate leg days. So I don't want to go. Leg days are hard. You have to do all these exercises with heavy weights or, whatever weight to your body. And you go work out. And if you have a bad attitude, you have a bad workout. And you can hardly lift up the weight because your attitude is bad. And once you start thinking, the guys at the Olympic go, what are they doing? They're not trying to do that to be strong. They're doing it because they're psyching themselves out. I can do this. I can do this. And so you have to do that with yourself when you change your mind about things. You have to really work at stuff, and all of a sudden you do actually feel stronger. And your body, you change your mind, and your body goes into some kind of operation because it's connected together, and your body's working more efficiently. But if your mind's not in it, it's a harder workout. Oh, it's a long. I mean, how long have you been here? An hour? No, you've been here about 10 minutes. It's like you go to church, right? Oh, church is 1 hour. Oh, church is boring. If you came here to meet God, you won't be boring. Amen? But if you say, 1 hour, Lord Jesus. But it is an exercise. to pay attention. It is an exercise to come here and dress up in the morning and comb your hair and whatever you do to come here, eat your flakes and come in. Take a chair. So your mind needs to check up daily. So someone mentioned renewing the mind is like similar to combing your hair. You must take care of your hair daily. How many of you combed your hair? Several of you combed your hair. Some of you should have combed your hair. You say, oh, nothing wrong with my hair. But your hair is all messed up in the back. You didn't realize you slept on it. But, you know, you have to comb your hair every day. You know, some people choose to have short hair because it's easier. Yeah? Thank you. Give somebody a comb, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, it is cooler. You look like Telly Savalas back in our day in the 80s. Everybody wanted to look like Telly Savalas. He's a tough guy. I told Pastor, can you shave the rest of your hair off? You look like Telly this morning. You're like a tough guy. He said, you look like a tough guy. He said, why don't you just have one of those little beards? You know, you can grow one of those and look good. Change that mustache into something different. What if you came in there one solid morning, eh? Solid. Hey, is that Pastor Ken? He's been at the gym. Amen. So anyway, you must give yourself a checkup every day. Our thinking must be kept in check daily. Our outlook in life really depends on us having a proper mental attitude. What do you see yourself doing in the next little while? In the next 5 years, where do you see your health? Is it going to improve or is it going to be bad? Is it going to be worse? Where do you see yourself financially? How do you see yourself in a social situation? What's going to happen? So our outlook it depends on us having a better attitude. I heard one preacher say this, think about what you're thinking about. And I think that's a good way to check yourself. Like, what are you thinking about? What are you focusing on regularly? You know, and so change it a little bit. Change that around. Say, thank God, you know, I'm going to have a better mental attitude. You know, I'm going to get better. You know, so it's nice to be up, right? Sometimes you just don't have to do anything. Sometimes you just feel like that way. But most of the time, you're going to have to do something about it because your physical body will just feel good, wonderful. Like one day I told my wife, you know, I just feel wonderful today. Oh, man, I just feel so good. And I just feel, I don't know why, I just feel so serene and so, oh, I don't know what happened. What kind of food did it? What did you put in that food? But then the next day, But then it came back. You know, you have to do something with yourself, right? So the Bible teaches us, encourages us that we have to do something with our mental attitude. So the Bible says, be ye renewed. So the Bible is telling you to do something with your body, with your mind and your body. And so it says, offer your body a living sacrifice to God. You know, it's a sacrifice to do certain things with yourself physically. It's not easy training your body sometimes, or washing it, taking yourself for a while. I'm taking a car wash today. So what we believe today, right now, is a result of what we've been thinking about. That's why you need to renew your mind. Here's some points for you. What you believe right now is a result of what you've been thinking about every day. What you believe about yourself. What you believe about other people, about this world, and your chances of success in this world. What do you believe about that? Yeah? Yeah, people might be against you, but you know what? Hey, God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? You will succeed beyond, you know, the parameters that are maybe not favorable for you. You're gonna succeed beyond that. Number two, if we think wrong, we'll believe wrong or the wrong thing, and consequently, we'll act wrong. It's when we believe wrong, we'll have wrong actions, and you know, we're gonna have bad things happen. If we have bad attitudes. Number four, the Word of God, God's Word is given to us to straighten out our thinking. Now let's just go back for a second and read that scripture and the Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world. So he's telling us, okay, you know what? you know, science tells us that if you put yourself with a group of people or in a certain place, if you didn't do anything about your situation, you're going to start looking like everybody else around you, act like them and feel like them about everything else. You'll just automatically have this pressure on you to start becoming like everybody else around you. And then it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now watch this, second part here. Why must you be transformed? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. If we don't do that, if we don't find out what the Word of God is, then we're going to get out of the will of God in different areas of our lives. Because it's easy to be persuaded by feelings. Right? See how you feel, they make decisions on how you feel. Well, I'll just wait till tomorrow and see if I feel different about it. But if you're talking about your spirit, that's a different thing. But if you're talking about how you feel mentally, then that's another thing. You have to check on the inside of you to say, you know what, my mentality is this, but on the inside of me, my heart says something else. This is a decision I make. I make it according to the Word of God. So, you know, so we have to take the Word of God and replace our negative thoughts or the thoughts that we have about life and put the Word of God there. That's one thing about, you know, I'm not sure, I've never studied too much on it, but, you know, they tell you, you know, some exercises, some gurus tell you, empty your mind, you know, but you have to put the Word of God in it. You don't want to have an empty mind, you want to have the Word of God in there so somebody else doesn't go in there. You can have somebody else living in there. So the Word of God is given to us so that it'll straighten out our thinking. When you think wrong, you'll believe wrong, and if you believe wrong, you'll have wrong. You'll also have a wrong confession. A wrong confession. And that is, you begin to say things that are not true. You know, not God's word. What is confession? Confession is saying that what God says about you. That's what confession is. You know, we have only one kind of confession we focus on. That is, you know, what wrongs we did, our sins. But real confession in the Bible, one of the confessions is saying that what God says about you, even though it's not true, might not be, you know, true in your life. But if God says something, then it's a true statement. So you must make that your thought. Make it your thought. And notice, I remember an experience I had. If you'd go to Psalm chapter 1, that it taught me, God began to speak to my heart about different things. You know, everyone has their own experience with the Lord. And I just want to share this portion of Psalm chapter 1 with you that has happened in my life years ago. For some of you, it's a lifelong time, like Luke. Were you here? Where were you 30 years ago, Luke? You don't know. You were still in heaven, maybe. You were just a young... Okay, so... Psalm chapter 1, if we get out there, chapter 1. So here's what the Lord said to me. So if God might, you know, like if you're not careful, God comes to you and talks to you about something. It might be totally foreign to you, might not even be true in your life. And God wants you to make that your thinking and make that your confession. Here what it says, blessed is the man, or fortunate, prosperous is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's talking the same thing as being not conformed to this world. The ungodly is somebody who ungodly is people who are not have God, don't live by God's standards. So, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Okay, those are not good. The next, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord is God's word. James says that he who focuses on the law of the word, the law of the Lord, he calls the word of God the law of the Lord. It's a spiritual law. So, and his law does he meditate day and night. If we're going to change our mind, we're going to have to meditate on what God thinks about whatever instead of what God the godless are saying, even if they are smart, even if they went to university. If it's not doesn't have God in it, then you don't think about that thing. Think about what God says. A world without God is no good. So, he shall be like a tree. That's when you meditate on the Word of God. This is going to happen to you. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What happens when lots of tree gets water? There's going to be production. That bringeth forth fruit in this season. His leaf shall also not wither. And whatsoever we do shall prosper. So here's something. We all want prosperity, but sometimes we don't want to do those things that make us prosperous. And that is start meditating on the Word of God every day. Ask yourself, is the way I'm feeling right now, is the way I'm feeling and the decisions I'm making right now, is that godly? Is that what God want me to do? So we have to challenge ourselves and challenge our thinking and replace the thought there and say, you know what, here's what God says about it. Yeah, maybe I don't want to go to church tonight and come to leadership. I got other things planned, but maybe I'm going to have to make some changes. I'm using that as a church because obviously we're not doing it to have a meeting. I'd like to stay home too. But we're doing it because we want to help the city, the world around us, because we're not coming to church for ourselves. We're doing it together so that we can get encouraged together to work to help other people out there. Sometimes you might make sacrifices. He said, well, I've done it all my life. Well, continue to make them. Continue to go ahead and stretch yourself. And do those things what God has told you. So we might have to look at some of these things. If God's talking to you, then God will be talking to you. So, you know, this is going to happen when we meditate and change our thinking on God's word. What does he say about it? So we said there, number four, we said wrong thinking. When you think wrong, you'll believe wrong. When you believe wrong, your confession will be wrong. So you're going to start saying things. You're going to say things about how you feel that are not right according to the Word of God. You're going to say things that are not scriptural. You're going to say things, then that's going to build your spirit. And when tough times come, you're not going to last. So we must continue to say what God says because it's in our mind and it's building our spirit. What you look at long enough, somebody said, and I see this in Scripture, what you look at long enough, you become. That's why God says, look into my word. See what my word says. Hear what my word says. So when tough times come, you know, we'll still be standing there. We'll still be strong. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, storms of life come to everybody. But when the storm hits everyone, I'm going to still be standing here. Brother Higgins said that one day. He said, you know, when all these evangelists are gone, I'm going to still be here. When they're all dead and gone. And some of them died because they died, with different ailments, physical ailments. But he believed God. He said, you know, thank God, I'm healed. I'm healed. And he said, I'm healed when he wasn't healed. He said he was prosperous when he didn't have two dimes to rub together, he said. I said I'm rich when I had bald tires. And I said those things. These are, it's fine to say I'm rich when you got money or everything's going, everybody loves me. It's easy to say everybody loves you when everybody is loving you. But when everybody is against you, you feel the world is against you, it's another thing to have that confession, say, you know what, thank God, you know? That when God says if I please God, God loves me and he'll even make the enemies that are around me agree with me and love me. That's the word of God says that. We need to say that in our life. Change our attitude in those situations. We got 4 minutes left. We're going to take off. Now we're going to get into the word of God after this. The message. Okay, so when we confess wrong because of our thinking, you know, our whole life is going to be negative. Negative. So if you want to right thinking, you're going to have to put the Word of God in there. So the Bible has a lot to say about the mind of man. Notice here Proverbs 3:5. The good news says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. So you can't always rely on the way you think. Sometimes you need to have a checkup, a mental checkup. You know, how many go to regular your doctor once in a while, once a year or something like that? You go see your doctor and says, you know, how do you feel? I feel good. Okay. Any trouble? No, nothing. Any concerns? I have no problem. Okay, I'll see you later. And that's all that happens. Even if you have real bad issues, they ask you, how are you feeling? Feeling good? Okay, yeah, okay, no, okay, see you later. That's usually, unless you tell them, listen, doctor, I'm dying. And you talk to the doctor sometimes, you know. But if you say, you know, doctor, I need a mental checkup. He said, okay, what? Yeah, you got a psychiatrist in mind? No, I just want you to check me out, what my thinking is. Well, I'm not that kind of doctor. So, I mean, you need to see somebody and check up your thinking. Ask your wife. How many of you need to ask your wife something? Ask your kids. How's my thinking, kids? You say, it stinks. What do you mean by that? Well, you promised us to go to the carnival. You didn't take us. That means you're a liar, Mom. You know, you have to be able to check that out, right? Check out your thinking. You say, you know, you always complain. They tell you, you know, your kids will be really straight with you. You complain when things go wrong, you complain. You know, you blame everybody for losing your keys, and you're the one that lost the keys. It gets quiet in here, right? So your thoughts might not always be correct, according to Scripture. So I know I'm rambling on. It's time to quit. Let's go ahead and stand up. We have to have a mental checkup. Check our mind. Thank you, Lord. Where's the songstress? Is she coming? Where's the organ player? Is that the organ player? Can you put something like a real organ? You could, eh? We need people to renew their mind. Praise God. We should put some of those, you know, southern gospel kind of, sometimes we just kind of just, whoo, let's just go right out of here. I just wanted to make sure today that we're checking our mentality about things. You know, we every once in a while we need to do that. Because if you woke up this morning, you know, Sunday morning, oh man. Well, we get those blues too. All the pastors said, oh man, Sunday morning, I got to be there early. I got to be there late, you know. But, you know, we need to check up. All right. You got thinking in there that needs to be changed. Close your eyes for a second, and I want you to think about this right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you spoke to me whatever you spoke to me about in my own heart. Perhaps you even you're dealing with me before I came here this morning, that there's some things I need to start changing. Maybe I haven't been as grateful as I was. Maybe I should be more grateful. Maybe I need to start praising you more and thanking you. I need to show more love to people. Maybe I need to do something for somebody. Lord, I want to thank you today. We're asking you right now. I'm asking you to forgive me for having such a negative attitude, and I'm going to replace that. I'm going to get a scripture for that. I'm going to fix that there. I'm going to renovate that. I'm going to tear out all the stupid thinking and all the stink thinking and all the bad feelings out of there. I'm going to start focusing on good thoughts. Lord, I'm going to put that in there. Yes, I am. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be destroyed because of it. I want to thank you right now, Lord, for thinking. I love you, Lord. I want to tell you I appreciate your word. I appreciate this opportunity to challenge me again in my thought life. And I'm going to straighten out how I feel. I'm not going to walk by how I feel. I'm going to change how I feel. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm so happy that I'm born again. I had the opportunity to be saved for a number of years now. And I'm going to do something for somebody. I'm going to help somebody today. I'm going to do something. Make a difference. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning. I give you praise, Lord Jesus. Thank you for changing my heart. Changing my life and preparing me for the upcoming days that the devil has planned. I will not even notice it, but I'm going to miss the attack that's coming against me because I've changed my attitude. I'm going to miss that sickness. I'm going to miss the flu. I'm going to miss that accident, miss that unfortunate thing because I'm changing my attitude right now. I'm not going there because God, you plan all good things for me. I heard the Lord say to me this morning, that God has a plan And ever since you're born, like Psalm 139 says, he wrote a book. Everything is detailed in there. Everything good is in there for you. And he wants you to get back on track so that all those good things that he's planned for you is coming on your life. And that you will avoid all those difficult things that the devil has planned. But God has a good plan for you. He's gonna qualify you to get on that road again as you made those preparations. And you said, my heart is prepared. My mind is right. Right now. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want people right now to say, Pastor, I needed some checking this morning. I'm not gonna call you up to the front. I wanna say, there's somebody here that said, Pastor, I really needed to hear that. I needed to have my check. Everybody close their eyes. Nobody look around. Lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I needed that check. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I'm changing. I'm going to do it. In the name of Jesus, I praise you. Thank you. That my attitude will not be like the world's attitude, but it's going to be an attitude from the Word of God. Now I'm prepared to go out here today. I'm prepared for any challenge that I can do all things through Christ. Everybody say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm ready for anything. And everything that comes my way, I'm going to meet that challenge with high praises and thanksgiving in my heart. I'm not going under. I'm going over because God made me a winner. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you tonight. Some of you coming to the meeting. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're out there this morning, if you're seeking Jesus, if you need to get saved, this is the moment right now. Wherever you are, if you've never been born again, you say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I want you to come in my life. Save me. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. If you would do that right now, if you bow your head and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you are the ever-loving God who died for me. And I want to thank you right now. I am yours, and I will walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that little prayer, made that confession, you are now born again. Write to us. We want to send you some information that will help you develop spiritually. God bless you. See you next time.